Hello, everyone, and welcome. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're not doing a regular episode today. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw that one right at you. Just get straight off rip. Okay? Straight out the gate. Not a regular episode this week. At all. However,
hello.
You know what this is? What this is? You know what this is, though? You know what this is here? You know what this is? You know what this is right here? This shit right here, nigga. This shit here, nigga. This shit right here, nigga. This shit here, nigga. This shit right here, nigga. This shit here, nigga. This shit right here, nigga. This is the Banter Pub FC. The sauciest team in the game. Spiciest takes on the pitch. You know what? We're not doing around the pitch today. So get that out of your head. We're not doing the main segment today. So get that out of your head. We're not doing extra time today. We're not doing any of that today. We are having our first ever annual awards show, which we've affectionately called the Pub Awards or the Pubbies. Yeah? It's a really cute name. I came up with that name. I really like it. Anyway, we're going to be going over all sorts of wonderful different things that we've all really knocks our heads together to try and figure out, okay, well, we definitely want to, you know, hand out awards, but what were what would we do it for? What's it based on? And, you know, who gets nominated? So we put all of our best minds together. Sans Adam, who could not be with us, this week. The pub is full. We have big man like El Capitan in Neil. We have big man like Armour. We have big man like Jonathan, who has finally come back, which means that, yes, Manchester City did win a couple of matches. So, obviously, he's here. And we have big man like Rosler.
Happy New Year.
We have big man like Rosler holding it down on ones and twos, as well as on the mic as well. The Banter Pub's resident Grandmaster Flash. See what I did there? See how I hold you down, Rosler? Yeah, yeah. Don't say I don't know. Don't ever say I don't do anything. All right. So, what are the categories, you ask? Well, got a few. So, starting with underperforming player, we've got most unappreciated player, best manager, biggest racismo, we have most improved player, most improved team, we have best goal, we have most overrated club, we have the Pubby's version of the Ballon d'Or or the Publand d'Or, where we basically pick the outright best player, man, woman, or NB. Does not necessarily matter. This was the person that did the best in the calendar year 2021, according to us. And we also added a few fun ones. So we've got best kit. So who released the best kit in the calendar year of 2021? You know we are all about the drip here. FC Drip, baby. It's Banter Pub. You know what it is. Anyway, most impactful transfer. This one was a really, really, really tense one amongst the hosts here. We have host awards as well. So the biggest troll, you know, the take that was Cheeks Award, the biggest bombshell, mic drop amongst us, who had the best kit and shoe game. You know, things of that nature. We went ahead and went over all of the episodes from the last couple of seasons. You know, well, at least 2021. Episodes that released in 2021 anyway. And we put together some of this there. And we also have our dishonorable mentions, which we will do at the end. Never, ever, ever record while you're looking at things that are going on behind the scenes while you're recording. You lot are the worst. Let's just go ahead and get started. It's the Pubbies, gentlemen. Thank you for coming. And thank you for also throwing me off my game. I'm not going to mention any names. Just going to let that one hang in suspense. Shall we get started with the opening category for the Pubbies? And that is underperforming player. And this one's a bit contentious. Not as contentious as other categories, but contentious nonetheless. Your nominees for underperforming player Puppies 2021 is Harry Kane, NRA Mar, aka Second Amendment Hazard, aka Parkland Pavel Nedved, aka Columbine Cristiano Ronaldo, Christian Pulisic, Timo Werner, Eden Hazard, or, and this is definitely going to get, Messi 10 Twitter up in tizzy, Lionel Messi. I'm going to open it up to the floor. I want you to state your case for your choice as to who was the underperforming player of 2021 and who deserves the pubby for the underperforming player.
I think we wouldn't be the banter pub if we didn't give it to Christian Pulisic, honestly. A.K.A. Mago Makaleli.
A.K.A. Oh, there's so many nicknames we came up with. I need to find that list. So, what say you, Armour, Jonathan, Rossler? Who's your choice for underperforming player?
Well,
this is
tough.
Go for it.
I have my nomination. I'm sure everybody knows by now that can see what's going on the back end. But I'm going to go with the man said that he wasn't going to play this year for his squad and didn't end up playing for his squad, Harry Kane, because he's been missing for the entire year. He's showing signs of life now, but I think it's too little too late.
We might have to put, remember we used to put missing persons on the side of a milk carton, on a milk box? We might have to do that for Harry Kane. So that is a good shout. Jonathan?
Yeah, Harry Kane really messed up my fantasy team this year. Not to say that it was already solid, but he really helped. He put me in the mud.
Don't blame Harry for that, bro. If he was good, Harry. He wouldn't have saved your team, bro.
I blame Harry for that. But as much as I want NRA Mar to win it, I'm going to go with Timo Werner. I think he came in with a lot of hype and... You know, because he's a white dude from Germany. It just is what it is. And he's just been stinking it up ever since he's been in the Premier League. So I'll go with him.
Well, you're not wrong. Standard procedure, though. Armour?
Yeah, this is tough. It's tough because all these people deserve this award. Like, they work really hard to earn their spot on this list. And I can rattle off rationales for each one. But I think the greatest fall from grace is definitely Harry Kane.
I think...
Joseph, that leaves you?
You know, I was all guns blazing for, man like Kent State, Harry Kewell over there. Man like Virginia Tech, Mark Viduka. You know what I'm saying? Insurrection Insigne. You know, we could do this all day, every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I personally still feel quite strongly, like, objectively, that Christian Pulisic is the most... He has underperformed for all the hype that he gets. For Christ's sake, he's the only name on this list that has missed an open net in a Champions League final. I've never seen that before in my life, brethren. And this is the guy that you've got shilling Gatorade to me to every fucking week? It's the blackest part of my ass. I cannot stand this guy. I just like, yes, Harry Kane's fall from grace is definitely, well, bizarre, number one. Because for all intents and purposes, I can't stand him. You know what I'm saying? He looks like Lurch from the Addams Family. But at least he'll get you goals. You know what I'm saying? Now, he won't even get you... He won't even get you dust, bro. Like, God bless Antonio Conte. I don't know why somebody so gorgeous would go ahead and ruin their career like this. But anyway, look, Christian Pulisic is my choice because as far as I'm concerned, he gets all this hype and for what? Like, for what, gentlemen? I don't want to carry on for too long, but nah, man. Christian Pulisic is definitely underperforming. He underperformed in the Gold Cup final. Yes, he scored the penalty, but A, it shouldn't have been awarded, and B, he was AWOL for like 103 minutes. Like, give me a fucking break. The Champions League final we've already addressed. He is supposed to be the super sub. Can't even get that fucking done. Shit, the match that he scored in when they benched Lukaku, he scores, and they still can't pick up 3 points. Bruv, don't chat to me about fucking Christian Pulisic. He's overrated as hell. Anyway, that's it. I'm done. I'm off my box. Sorry. Ran over time anyway. So, everybody's put their vote in. It's a dead heat between Harry Kane and Christian Pulisic. If Adam was here, he would have probably broken the deadlock. So how do we break this deadlock? Do we give the puppy to both of them? Because we can give them to both of them.
I think they should both equally get this shitty award. Congratulations to both of them.
Congratulations. Yes. So congratulations to Harry Kane and Second Amendment Hazard for winning the puppy for underperforming player. You know, it was a tight competition between you men this year. So why should both of you go home empty-handed? Here you go. This bag of shit. Please get the fuck out of my face forever. Moving on. Most unappreciated player. Well, we've got four. And this also caused a bit of a stir between hosts. But let's go ahead and give you the nominees for most unappreciated player. Here's the criteria for this. This is a player that continually puts in good performances, great performances too, but is continually disrespected by not just pundits, but even as so far as the club that they play for. Good names here. And we shall start with one Antonio Rudiger of Chelsea FC, Jesse Lingard of Manchester United Football Club, Donyell Marlin. I believe he plays for Ajax now, unless he moved.
Dortmund.
Dortmund, excuse me. Yes, that Donyell Marlin. Excuse me. Donyell Marlin for Borussia Dortmund. And Sebastian Haller, formerly of West Ham, but now playing for Ajax. There's an argument behind the Haller thing, because the person who's been shouting Sebastian Haller ever since we started finalizing this list all goddamn day, and he's going to lead this one off, is El Capitan in Neil. Speak to the people then.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's tough because obviously Antonio Rudiger is currently, I mean, as of this recording, he's currently in the transfer window right now. He is out of contract at Chelsea and they want nothing, Thomas Tuchel wants nothing to do with him, despite the fact that he's one if not their best option for, you know, as a center back. So he's obviously a big shout. He is underappreciated by Thomas Tuchel and was less appreciated, wasn't even starting under Frank Lampard. You know, that says a lot. Sebastian Haller, conversely, this is not necessarily his time at Ajax, but at West Ham. The argument could be made, you know, the argument is there. It's not could be made, but it's there. He was severely underutilized at West Ham, went to Ajax, and if you're anyone who's been paying attention to the beautiful game this past year, you know what Sebastian Haller can do when he is given the opportunity. He puts the ball in the back of the net. That's just what that kid does. So, you know, some of these other names, I think there's a way to put, you know, there's an argument for Jesse Lingard. He's, you know, he was in form at West Ham's and was used by David Moyes. I just don't think, Jesse Lingard is amongst several players at Manchester United currently that are underappreciated at the club, whether it was under the former manager in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or the current manager. You know, it really doesn't matter whether it's Ralph or Ole. You know, at the end of the day, I think if we're talking about if relevant to this category, I have to give it to Sebastian Haller particularly for being underutilized, particularly at the same time that Jesse Lingard was at West Ham. Yeah, I just got to give it to Sebastian Haller.
All right. Well, let's quickly go to Armour, Jonathan. Armour.
Yeah, so I could very easily make the case for Antonio Rudiger because he was underutilized under Frank Lampard, and then shows why he should be your starting defensive backline with your whether you play three at the back or not at Chelsea. But I'm gonna go with Sebastian Haller because the transformation once he moved to Ajax was pretty remarkable. I mean, I don't think he scored many goals. He didn't show very much of the quality that he has. Like, he looked like he needed a lot more time developing than he was at West Ham. He goes to Ajax and he's doing bits. He's scoring oodles of goals, even in the Champions League right now. So, yeah, he gets my vote.
Jonathan?
I'm still going to go with Rudiger. I think, yeah, he's underappreciated. Now that he has a really solid center back partner in Thiago Silva, old man Thiago Silva still doing bits. Like, it really shows, he really shows out, like, why he's important for the squad. I mean, Chelsea need a lot more help, but it's nothing to do defensively. I think Rudiger is a big part of that.
Rosler?
I'm going to go with Rudiger, too, for a lot of the reasons we've stated so far. When you watch him play, it's, he's always where the ball is. He always finds a way to make a play on the ball, no matter where he's, whether he's off camera, you don't see him. Like, whenever something happens, he's always in the right place at the right time. And since he's not a scoring defensive player, I think he gets overlooked quite a bit. But when you watch him play, he just makes so many great plays on the balls, on the ball, in the defensive end. So it's up to you, Joseph. You have to break this tie.
Oh, no. That's what I was... See? That's the reason why you should never let me host shit. So what have we got? We've got how many for Rudiger? Two. And we've got two for Harder. Well, I'm not breaking any ties because I still feel that Jesse Lingard is absolutely the most underappreciated player at Manchester United Football. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Wow, 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 wow.
I'm not breaking the tie. I can't choose between these two. I'm not. No, I haven't. No. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not breaking the tie. I'm going to go ahead and get this off my chest, and then we're going to go ahead and award it to both Sebastian Haller and Antonio Rudiger this year for the puppy, for most unappreciated player. But I will say this on behalf of a man like Jay Links. I don't understand what it's going to take for everybody to realize that if you're looking for creative spark, if you're looking for a certain zip, if you're looking for somebody who's not afraid to make a mistake, somebody who plays football like they're never going to play football ever again. Energy for days, scores brilliant goals, makes brilliant movements, can be the creative playmaker if you really want him to. Went back to his former manager at West Ham, David Moyes, and absolutely played the second half of the season lights out. And when called upon, still at Manchester United. This is the boy that is making anything, if anything, happen. He still doesn't get enough time at Manchester United for me. I really feel like he should leave. He's not appreciated there. And everybody's wondering why you're playing turgid stuff when you've got weapons like Jesse the Lingard on the bench. He is the most unappreciated player in the Premier League. Never mind Manchester United. Free Jesse Lingard. That's all I have to say about that. So anyway, let's move on with the rest of our night. So your Pubby Award for most unappreciated player is another dead heat. Because I refuse to break the tie because I feel that strongly about Jesse Lingard. Jesse, come Arsenal, bruv. It'll be great. Antonio Rudiger and Sebastian Haller are your joint winners for most unappreciated player. Congratulations, gentlemen. Please consider leaving your respective clubs. moving on to best manager. So best manager, your nominees for best manager, again, throughout the calendar year of 2021, these are the managers that have, for all intents and purposes, risen above their counterparts and made a name for themselves this year. People who are household names. People who are renowned for their leadership, their man management, all the rest of it. These are your nominees. Antonio Conte, Pep Guardiola, Erik ten Hag, Roberto Mancini, and Gareth Southgate. go ahead and move it on along swiftly. I'm going to go ahead and say Rossler. Rossler, you tell me who's the best manager for 2020. Who deserves the puppy?
In my opinion, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think I'm going to go with Pep. Other than that Newcastle match, they've been really, really good. They played well on both sides of the ball, and he's gotten the best out of a lot of different players. There's been a lot of different scores, and that technically is his system, to have a lot of different players that can be interchangeable and score the ball, but they're looking pretty dominant right now, so I'm going to go with Pep.
El Capitan.
So I'm going to shock the system a little bit, and I'm going to go with I was initially going for Mancini, but I'm going to go for Conte, because he started his in 2021 at winning the Scudetto at Inter Milan, and then left the club because they needed more money, and he understood. Was kind of sitting in limbo for a little bit. And then Jose Mourinho got fired from Spurs. So there was an opening in Tottenham, and he took it. And I know we have several Arsenal supporters we have a strong Arsenal contingent here, so obviously they may feel differently. But I think in one transfer window in the summer, Antonio Conte has kind of corrected some of the mistakes that Jose Mourinho made in kind of letting players go and kind of moving players into the wrong position. I got to go with Antonio Conte for the calendar year of 2021.
Maybe just one slight correction, because the person who spared Mourinho's blushes was Nuno. He just couldn't make it work. But Antonio Conte was the one that took what Nuno brought in and made it work. So apart from that, I agree, really. Agree with all of your arguments there. Arma!
Yeah. I think you got to give it to Roberto Mancini. You know, national team managers don't get a lot of time with their squads. You get drips and drabs in the little breaks. And Italy was unbeaten, like, for, I don't know, 3 years or something absurd. I think it was over 30, 35 matches. They had an unbeaten streak. And I feel like winning the Euros was a giant feather to put in his cap, beat quality sides to get there. And even though they won on penalties, they won. So yeah, big up man like Roberto Mancini. Plus, he dressed really well.
I mean, the drip was immaculate. He was inarguably the best dressed manager. And you never saw him in track suit bottoms, training suit, none of that shit. Man was only wearing the finest Armani. Finest. Jonathan.
I mean, y'all, I can't really go wrong here, because the cream has risen to the top. Pep or Mancini. But if we're talking about wins throughout the entire year, Pep Guardiola did the damn thing. Ain't nobody had more points than him in a calendar year. Nobody this season. So I'm rolling with Pep. Mancini, I love him. That's my dog. He gave Manchester City so much joy. And I appreciate him carrying my prediction of Euro champion through this year. Shout out to me. Yeah, I'll go with Pep.
You're insufferable.
You know, I just... I need a mute button.
Like, he said, shout out to me.
I just... You know, this is the reason why we got to send you on another like UN mission or something like that, because this is fucking ridiculous. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to once again upset the whole thing. I agree 100% with Arma. There was not a better manager in the year of 2021 than Roberto Mancini. This man came straight from out the woodwork. He's just like, you know, nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish and motherfuckers out there forgot about Roberto, because this guy came out of nowhere and reminded you just who he is. okay? Everybody's playing lovely counter-attacking tiki-taka football. This man said, fuck that. Get some of this attacking football down. You remember that? Remember you scored sexy goals? You remember when you just, the best kind of defense, was just peppering the other net with as many beautifully crafted chances as possible? You just exhaust, man. Just twist them up. That's what he did. Italy went on an outrageous 35 match unbeaten run. I'm sorry, but Roberto Mancini was peerless in 2021. And he proved it by winning a European championship that Italy, quite rightly, didn't really have all that much business winning. You know what I mean? Everybody thought that the unbeaten run was going to end at some stage, and it looked like it might have at certain points of that tournament. But they just couldn't be beaten. They were absolutely peerless, and it's all because of him. Roberto Mancini is the guy. He's the best manager of 2021 for me. So it looks like we have yet another joint winner here at the Pubbies.
This man really just followed up his Jesse Lingard rant with some bars from Eminem. I need that to be acknowledged. That's okay. All I have to say. All in 2021. Thank you.
That's right. Yep, you got it. At the end of the day, your best managers of 2021, the Pubbies go to Pep Guardiola. It shouldn't really, because there's bias coming from one of those votes. But
Yeah. Bald King. Let's get it.
Oh my God. Roberto Mancini is the other manager. So congratulations, gentlemen. You are the best managers of 2021. Enjoy your Pubbies.
Until Pep has another galaxy brain catastrophe in the Champions League.
I mean, it's inevitable, isn't it?
Enjoy it while you can.
It's going to go to Mikel Arteta next year anyway. So moving on to biggest racismo. Yes. As you have no doubt been following along, you know, as the Banter Pub has been keeping you abreast of everything that's been going on in the world of football, the beautiful game, all that sort of fun stuff. One thing that we 100% refuse to ignore and refuse to let stand every single time it happens is racismo. So, what constitutes racismo? The usual anti-blackness, anti-Semitism, forms of, you know, just basically, you know, everything that just makes everybody who's not white look at each other and think to themselves, these white people are wild. So this is what we have for you in terms of your nominees. And we've based it largely off of the things that definitely cause a big to-do here in the pub, but also writ large. So, hope these nominees will do some justice here. The first is the Slavia Prague incident. If you cast your mind back to that Slavia Prague Rangers match, I think you know what I'm talking about. This is when we were playing pandemic football properly, where there were no crowds. But there was never, ever going to be a chance for that player to get away with what he did and what he said, most important. Apparently, he got beat up in the tunnels afterwards. So, yeah, I would certainly like to see that footage if the lovely people at the Ibrox Stadium would go ahead and release that. Thank you very much. Love you. This actually, one really.
So, hold on real quick. The footage doesn't exist because word on the street is that. You know, your favorite Liverpool slipper threw a towel over the camera as the beatdown was about to occur. So Rangers have plausible deniability about the retribution. And I want to also point out.
I want to say I love Steven Gerrard, but I don't love Steven Gerrard.
I never loved Steven Gerrard. But he definitely saw it happen. and backed the player. Glenn Kamara, but also Andre Kudela was those claims of racial abuse were substantiated, and he was banned for 10 matches by UEFA. So it's not one of those, you know, tempest in a teapot things. It's not one of those he said she said things, you know.
It was just
And then the team played Arsenal next, and they chose to come out arm in arm before kickoff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, kind of backing their man. And Arsenal.
We pumped them.
Yeah.
There's no need to be nice about it. They decided to go ahead and do their whole little fake solidarity bullshit. And then, yeah, we gave them something to hold on to. So they can go ahead and lock
up. The fans were atrocious. Like, they put up racist banners against, like, in the street against Kamara. Like, it was just garbage. So, yeah, Slavia Prague. Sorry I had to interject. I felt strongly about it. I feel strongly about it. So, yeah, excuse me.
I mean, well, yeah, they're based off of moments where, I mean, and I'm definitely going to think about maybe putting together like a super cut of all of these moments, because we came with some hot fire. The denizens of the pub definitely came with some hot fire in terms of, you know, not just rebuking these moments, but just breaking them down, doing a deep dive on them, you know, picking apart everything that we possibly could have picked apart based on information that we had at the time. Honestly, you owe it to yourself to go through all of that. Speaking of your next nominee, well, you know, your next nominee, it's not so much a certain incident. Because this nominee had it all in terms of isms and schisms. Do you want misgendering of non-binary players? Got that. You want homophobia? And then, you know, getting rid of said homophobic player only to bring them back at the end of the season? Hi, North Carolina Courage. We got that too. Speaking of North Carolina Courage, oh, hey, you're the coaches, the managers. What the fuck's going on there? The one at North Carolina Courage, the one at Washington Spirit. Lord, they're all out, just out here. Like an abuser's paradise. Lisa Baird, the now ex-commissioner and the deputy commissioner. Racism. Do you want racism too? We got racismo. Plenty of that. Okay? The NWSL is your second nominee here. And they had to get nominated this year because they have had an atrocious 2021. It must be said, were it not for the actual brilliant moments of football, this is all that we'd be talking about this year. And it is particularly galling. So they had to get nominated. Third, if you remember and cast your mind back to a certain US Soccer Federation conference that happened earlier this year, and there was a certain decorated Paralympian and all-around racist fuckwit, Seth John. Seth John went, if you remember, on at 1.7-minute tirade that would have made David Duke and them man there for the Ku Klux Klan just absolutely rejoice. And I think it might actually have actually done that. I need to follow that up. But regardless, it was a horrendous moment for US soccer as a federation. And the fact that this man was allowed so much time to go ahead and give everybody what could only sound like a commencement address for the, you know, from the capital of the Confederacy. You know what I mean? It really and truly was a horror show. And it caused a lot of to-do, not just online, but offline too. So it definitely got nominated. Finally, if you cast your mind back to the Euros, remember when Marcus Rashford, Bukayo Saka, who had no business taking a penalty in a major final like that, by the way, based on his age, thanks very much, and Jadon Sancho all missed their penalties in the penalty shootout between England and Italy in the Euro 2020 Cup final in Wembley. Remember what happened after to them, man? Remember that? Yeah, that got nominated. Your fourth and final nomination for Biggest Racismo is England fans abusing black players that missed the pens. But really and truly, you can just put England fans all throughout the Euros. They booed the knee. They did everything. Everything. And still, the team managed to get to a final. Somehow, some way. And then all those racist fans got their absolute comeuppance. You got to witness England do what they do best, lose on penalties in your first major final in 50 years. Oh, it was so sweet. I'm not going to reprise my rant as to how much I enjoyed watching England capitulate in that kind of fashion. Dramatic as hell. I think I next like 3/4 of a bottle of Appleton Estate. I was that nervous. Great stuff, though. Gentlemen, the pubby for Biggest Racismo. We know who at Armour stands, but where does El Capitan stand? Where does Jonathan stand? And where does Ross stand?
I got to give it to Seth John, honestly. I think England is a terrific shout. However, to go on a rant for 7 minutes, then to basically get kicked out of every USSF affiliation that you had immediately after. Say what you will about the USSF. We've ranted about it enough. I think we've given too much time to this segment, frankly, but I got to give it to Seth John.
I gotta amend that, right? Like, U.S. soccer gave him the platform, failed to cut him off, and like it wasn't news to folks that knew him, and to have the platform and to be allowed to continue on his racist screed, a complete abdication of responsibility, and yeah, I'm sorry, U.S. soccer has to take some blame. For the Seth John incident.
Yeah, they put him on. You know what I'm saying? They put him on and they refused to go ahead and, you know, do what they do at the Apollo and get the equivalent of the Sandman to come and hook him off. You know what I mean? So at some point people really need to talk about how disingenuous it is that some people believe that free speech means listening to intolerant speech and hate speech on top of that. But that's another discussion for another day. Rossler. Jonathan.
I agree with Neil. Seth John for me.
Seth John for Rossler. Jonathan?
Yep, Seth John. Dude, racism in as Amba described it institutionally, that's the most blatant thing ever. So
yeah, it's really not gonna matter who I choose at this point. I would have said that the NWSL definitely deserves an honorable mention because holy hell, what an absolutely horrendous season that they've had from the Challenge Cup to the Championship. It has just been non-stop problems from an administrative level. They have to get their shit together next season. I thought that was absolutely exceptional. What I've seen.
So I also would like to add, you know, I'm happy U.S. Soccer won. Seth John, U.S. Soccer, because I'll fold in the U.S. Women's National Team roster selections, which I also feel strongly about. And yep. I think the good folks on Shea Butter FC, as a quote, mm-hmm. I won't forget, which is like, do you want to win or do you want to be white? And they chose to be white going to the Olympics, and they got the result of that and had to lean on their black players to bring it home to give them a shot at a medal. It was really, really pathetic. The way folks were not given opportunities to represent the country, and a lot of that is still rooted in racist perceptions of players' abilities, their intellectual capacities, their, you know, commitment, all that. So yeah, I'm sorry, but I had to give you another addendum.
No, I love it when you do that. Because it's the additional context that you need. But yeah, I 100% agree. Sky and Sills, shout out once again to the glorious Shea Butter FC. They've been saying it from the very beginning as far as the women's game is concerned. You know, US Soccer Federation needs to make a decision. Either you want to win or you want to win by being white. And that doesn't really win you all the things all the time. So make a decision. They've called it from the very beginning. They've been spot on about just about everything to do with the U.S. women's national team in particular. They said that the team selection was not going to cut any ice, considering that the rest of the world had caught up. Bang on there. They said that, you know, they've been on the neck of the NWSL, and they've just simply not missed. So shout out to them, gal there. Sharpshooters in this team, as far as this punditry game is concerned. They haven't missed yet. Please listen to their podcast. They're absolutely fucking amazing. Yeah, Seth John is going to win the pubby for biggest racismo. I mean, yeah, objectively speaking, it deserves to win, doesn't it? You know, what a way to fall from grace. You know, this guy's not exactly a slouch in terms of, you know, how many medals that he's won as for the US Paralympian team in football. Do you know what I mean? He's fairly decorated, which is the reason why he had that position at the USSF in the first place. But it's not just him that should take all of this award. USSF, as correctly observed by both El Capitan and Armour, yeah, they just, you gave him all this room to speak and you didn't hook him off. So, fuck you for that. All right. Let's keep it moving. Keep it cool. Let's go back to the positive stuff. I like the positive stuff. Most improved player is your next category here. So these are some interesting ones. And here's basically what we're going for here. Not necessarily to say that any of these names lost a step. They're on the come up, but they have improved based off of the way that they burst onto the scene. They've started as they've meant to go on. Or they've meant to go on as they started. And these are the five players that have done precisely that. Bukayo Saka from Arsenal. Stand the fuck up. Dominic Calvert-Lewin of Everton. Vinicius Jr. from one Real Madrid. Alexander Isak of Sweden. And Jonathan David of Lille. Gentlemen, who's getting the pubby?
I'm gonna jump in and say Bukayo Saka just off the strength of his so the calendar year 2021, how much Arsenal depended on him to bring us over the line last season, and how instrumental he's been this season in lifting the fortunes of the team. He's obviously a young player who's carrying more than his fair share of the burden of leading this team, and much respect.
I was initially going to go. Obviously, if you've been listening to the podcast, particularly in season 3 and also in season 2, you know that I am a massive fan of one Jonathan David, aka Canadian Messi. He's the leading goal scorer in Ligue 1. It's just unfortunate that Lille is, you know, sitting mid-table. And I think it's easy just to go to him as an individual as far as impacting the team. But in terms of the category, I think I got to agree with Ama and give it to Saka.
It's Vinicius Jr. for me, for sure. I think when he first came to Real Madrid, it is a big club, so he got off to a slow start and people were doubting him. And, you know, with teams like Real Madrid and Barcelona, well, maybe not Barcelona now, Barcelona before, they just discard players like it's nobody's business. And I thought he would be falling into that trap. But I think this year he's really showed out. He's been a menace, absolute menace. With every team he's played, he's going to ball out in the Champions League. I know it. You know, he's on a good team. He's got a great set of players. But to be able to stand out that way, I think it's testament to how much you've improved over the year, just the year alone. That shows he's got a really high ceiling. So I'll go with Vinicius Jr.
We got two for Saka. We've got one for Vinicius Jr. Rossler?
I'm going to go with Saka. It's really impressive what Arsenal and he have been able to do, considering how the season started out very tumultuous for them, all the injuries and uncertainties and changes, and for a younger player to be able to persevere through that is extremely commendable. And he's really shown as one of the leaders for the team and grown into the role pretty well.
I'm going to agree with everybody that chose Saka. I think Bukayo has just been a revelation. I wouldn't say that he's most improved from the sense that he's ever had missed a step. The only thing that he has missed in 2021 was that dreaded penalty in the Euro final, which again, Gareth Southgate deserves, you know, lumps over the head, which, you know, for putting Saka in such a vulnerable position. A young player, no matter how well he performs, you just don't put him in. You don't put him where you put him in a penalty shootout for a major continental international honor. It's just not on. But I would have given it to Dominic Calvert-Lewin had he not succumbed to that injury. I think the injury really undercut what was a massive, massive rise to prominence for this kid. He's just gone from strength to strength. He was scoring for fun in the first half of 2021 before that injury. But because of that, I think it makes it that much easier for me to select Bukayo this time around. He is sensational. He is getting better and better every single time he steps on that football pitch or even the training ground at London Colney. I think Arsenal are beyond blessed to have him. And I really do hope we don't fuck this up, this special player. Hope we keep him for all of his best years. He is a magnificent talent, and I love him to death. So, I think that pretty much leaves Jonathan as the only person who selected anybody other than Bukayo Saka. But Bukayo Saka is by far and away winning the Pubby for most improved player of 2021. So, Bukayo, mate, congratulations. We'll send you a gift voucher as well. Might be able to. Just scan the QR code. All right, so moving on to most improved team. Five teams here. We've got five teams. Basically, a team that has basically gone from I don't know who the fuck that is, bruv, to who the fuck is that, bruv? Like, really impressive play. Really moved heaven and earth to get people to recognize and put respect on their name. And each of these sides, over the course of 2021 and the full calendar year, have done just that. The Premier League's West Ham United, La Liga's Real Sociedad, Germany's SC Freiburg, France's OGC Nice, and Italy's Atalanta. Gentlemen, who you got and why?
I got to go with, I was initially going to go with West Ham, obviously, because David Moyes, former United manager, they are currently sitting in a Champions League position in the table. They have played amazing. They have several players that are just balling out of control. And despite, however, if we're talking about teams that are surprising, that, you know, maybe the season prior weren't in any position where they are now, I got to give it up to Real Sociedad. They are currently sitting behind, if I'm not mistaken, based on as of this recording, sitting behind Real Madrid in second, and in the La Liga table. And I just got to give it to Real Sociedad. They've been more consistent than West Ham, despite the fact that they don't really have anything to play for other than the La Liga title. And they're sitting in second place. So, Real Sociedad, most improved team.
Yep, I'll go with Sociedad myself. Everything that Neil's described. David Silva, boy. Merlin, making things happen.
I'm going to go with West Ham for some of the reasons that Neil said, actually. I'm surprised that I thought you were going to lean that way, but for me, it's no one. I don't think anybody expected them to be at the position that they're currently in at this time during the year. If I'm not mistaken, they're currently in the top four, which was surprising to see. I don't think anybody was expecting them to do that well.
They're not in the top four, fam.
They're not? We are. Oh, yes. Arsenal is four. Excuse me, sir. But at some point, I think last week they were in the top
four before
you guys moved up. Or was it 2 weeks
ago? Maybe up to like game week 15 or 16.
Yeah, but
I put
respect on Arsenal's name. Y'all are top four. I think for me, I wasn't really expecting West Ham to be even close to that at any point in the season. Arsenal too, actually. But that's a story for another day. But for me, it's West Ham.
Yeah, and for me, my vote goes for SC Freiburg. Because they're in Champions League places. They are a solid mid-table club most of the time. And if you go back, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, I'm sure they're relegation battlers. So to be more than halfway through the Bundesliga season and in the Champions League places, I think is an improvement. I think is the definition of this category. SC Freiburg has no business in the Champions League, and they're on pace to do that.
Well, you don't drop me in it again. My decision is either going to either hand it to Real Sociedad one way or the other. It's either going to make it into a deadlock, or that's pretty much it. Well, let's go over the evidence. I think West Ham definitely deserves to be here. On merit, they might have regressed slightly towards the end of 2021, but they're still very much thereabouts in terms of qualifying for Europe. Again, at one point they were looking like they could actually be in the title race. You know what I mean? David Moyes has done an absolutely fantastic job of West Ham United. I will keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. It immediately makes Manchester United wonder what could have been had they given him the time to do what he was doing. Again, going to keep saying that till I'm blue in the face. Real Sociedad have been truly the most consistent, though, because they haven't regressed at all. They have stayed pretty much where they've aspired to be, and it is only a matter of time before they're seriously challenging for this title. I think you can argue, as Neil has mentioned earlier, that they are in the title race proper now. You know what I mean? Real Madrid are kind of running away with it at the moment. But somebody needs to step up to go ahead and take the spot that Barcelona had fallen from their perch from, and Real Sociedad looked like the ones to do it. So I'm going to go with Real Sociedad on this one. That is no disrespect to SC Freiburg, because what I was going to say is that Freiburg are the side that had genuinely come out of nowhere. They genuinely came out of, as I was saying, mid-table mediocrity. Now, they're absolutely one of the signs that you have to take seriously in the Bundesliga. And they could be playing the Champions League next season. Genuinely impressive stuff. We've been telling you about Atalanta. They've been scalping you, man, since the Champions League. Ambition following on. I still think it was a misstep for them to sell Papu Gomez, but you know what? It is what it is. So, the puppy for most improved team is Real Sociedad. So congratulations. Feliz cumpleaños? No, that's happy birthday. Anyway, let's move on. Best goal. Best goal. Best goal.
We're going to start treating you like Jonathan and stop letting you host, bro.
You know what? It's fine. I deserve it. Because I deliberately said that, making it a bad joke, and I knew it was going to get this reaction. Best goal. The best goal of 2021. This was hard. But we had to choose only five. So we got it. We got five goals for you. We have Jesse Lingard's goal against Newcastle United. Fire goal. Eric Lamella's Rabona against Arsenal. Now, it's not every day that we give anything to Spurs. Do have to give Eric Lamela every ounce of that goal. Sensational. Loved it. Still lost though. Sané scoring against Dynamo Kiev. That was a banger, wasn't it? Patrick Schick, the Czech Republic striker. Do you remember that a certain outrageous goal he scored against Scotland in the Euros? That got nominated. And finally, it certainly ain't a party if the gal them are at the party. And this certainly was a goal worthy of a nomination. Caroline Veer's goal against Man United. Ah, sublime stuff. So, gentlemen, I'm going to let you go ahead and argue amongst yourselves. What's the best goal of 2021? Who deserves the puppy? State your case.
I'm going to be quick. Patrick Schick against Scotland. Easily one of the most sensational goals I've ever seen. He put the keeper for Scotland literally in the back of the net to the point that he looked like he was Spider-Man No Way Home. The brother was that young man looked caught in the net like he was a villain from Spider-Man No Way Home. And yeah, gotta give it to Patrick.
Don't spoil the movie, Neil. Relax.
I didn't spoil the movie. I just
wanted to stop you before you got there. Not okay. Everybody is in it. Relax. Since I'm up next, I'm gonna go with Neil. There's a certain level of disrespect that makes a goal so much more enticing. The fact that he shot it from halfway without even crossing the line. I think he was pretty close to, if not a little bit behind the line when he shot it. And the curve on the shot and the way the goalie folded over himself in the back of the net was beautiful. Very disrespectful.
I'm going with Schick too. Awesome goal.
Well, for me, I'm going to go with that same Patrick Schick goal. Honorable mention to the Lamela Rabona. That would be my second choice. But there are additional, USA women versus Mexico, Kristen Press versus Brazil. There are a ton of great goals in the warm-up matches versus Paraguay. Katerina Mercario got a good goal. Like just honorable mention that if you watch women's soccer, you will find fantastic goals. Keep your eyes open and watch that beer as well. But for me, it's still that Schick goal. It's the most memorable of all of these from the last calendar year. Half field, the curl, the dip, the keeper. Jesus. Yeah.
So, yes, Patrick Schick's goal was probably the most memorable goal of 2021. I think it's objectively without question. But I do have to give an honorable mention to Aguilar, the brother that plays for Portland Timbers in the MLS. That bicycle kick was absolutely outrageous. That was Puskas nomination worthy stuff. Unbelievable. It's not even so much taking advantage of a howler that the goalkeeper made. It's having the audacity, the presence of mind, and also the skill to pull off a goal like that. Out of nothing. Literally out of nothing. He could have sooner just turned and fired it in and curled it and put it wherever he wanted it. And it would have been just as spectacular. But he went for the extraordinary here. He absolutely, not even turning around or looking to see where the goal was, knew exactly where it was, let the ball take a single bounce, set himself up, and absolutely hooked it straight over the goalkeeper, who still had time to get back to the goal itself. It was amazing. So it definitely deserves an honorable mention. It certainly is one of my memorable goals for 2021, personally. But I do believe that puppy is more than deserved to one Patrick Schick.
Yo, real quick, I got to do the one last honorable mention to Megan Rapinoe's Olympico versus Australia. Scored directly from a corner kick.
Yeah.
So respect.
Yep, definitely. And speaking of women's football and all the goals, you know where you're going to see bangers upon bangers upon bangers upon bangers every single week? Liga MX Femenil. That is where you will see them. Okay, that's all I need to say. Please check to see which one of your local providers are carrying Liga MX Femenil matches. If they're not, get on them and tell them to get on this team, because this league is amazing. Let's go ahead and keep it moving. Most overrated club. This one is not close.
I'll go with your brother Joseph. Not really after.
This one's not close.
Do the music, Joseph.
This one's not close. Hold on, let me go ahead and dust out this record real quick. Put it on the turntable here.
You might need to cut another one that waxed and worn out. Play it every episode.
Get the shit out of this thing this season. You know who the most overrated club and the puppy. I'm not even going to mention the nominees. Why do we even bother putting nominees on here? It's Barcelona, okay? They're the only club that inspired us to create a whole segment. I literally trawled through the public domain to find opera, soap opera worthy music of a segment that you will be able to listen to. And it had to match precisely what was going on with Barcelona Football Club. Are you being Barcelona? Are you being Barcelona? Are you? Because you have at multiple points, innumerable points of 2021. They have to get the public. They have to get the public for most overrated club. Again, I'm not even going to go through the rest of the nominees because they're not. The only one that was even close is Manchester United. But we'll get to them this season, won't we, El Capitan? Yes, we will. All right, great. Great talk. Love that. Let's move on to the next award. The Pubby for the best player, man, woman, or NB. Just did everything and more in 2021. Yes, the Publan d'Or. The Publan d'Or, I think, is actually. We'll get around to pronunciation. We'll get it right. But the Publan d'Or for this year goes to one Robert Lewandowski of Bayern Munich. The person who should have won the Ballon d'Or instead of a certain Argentine striker. Will not mention. But yes, gentlemen, I don't think there's anything further to add there. I mean, we've all been like unanimous about Robert Lewandowski being the best player of 2021. It should have been recognized on FIFA's level, but it's okay. He can definitely take home the Ballon d'Or. Hopefully, it will mean something to you, Robert. So, congratulations, sir. And with that, we also have to give a puppy to the club who had the best kit. Now, again, this one is not close. But we will mention the nominees. So, the best kit nominees, according to your boys here at the pub, are as follows. The Three Little Birds shirt for Ajax. The Barca pink away shirt. We would give Icarus or Football Culture awards all day for the shirts that they've managed to put out in 2021, and they had an innumerous amount of heat. But we have to shout out Nivelcrack. They put out an unbelievable shirt that El Capitan is extremely fond of. And you may have seen him sport the drip in some of our watch-alongs. So that one is getting a nominee for best kit in terms of non-football-related clubs. Not really a club, more like a brand. And finally, Inter's home shirt, the one that looks like snake skin. I mean, sex. Sex on threads. But as I said, it's not close. because the outright winner for best kit, not just for the best home kit, not just for the best away kit, and not even just for the best third kit, everything was heat this year. They did Arsenal business in the fashion department. You get me? Venezia. Shout out to Venezia. Kappa came through and blessed you, man. But the whatever designers that you had on the books, it all came together in every single shirt that you put on. Incredible stuff. Congratulations, Venezia. You win the pubby for best hit 2021. And now we're going to go ahead and move to one it's close for this one. We're going to go with most impactful transfer of 2021. Now, this one's going to be fairly interesting. When we say most impactful transfer, what we're talking about is a player that as soon as they landed, they made all the difference to the club's fortunes, regardless of where they were in the table prior. Just incredible. The side is nothing really and truly without them. Instant MVP business. These are the people that did that. Aaron Ramsdale and Tomiyasu son from Arsenal. Eduardo Camavinga moving to Real Madrid from his old French club. Sebastian Haller moving from West Ham United to Ajax. Upamecano moving from Red Bull Leipzig to Bayern Munich. And finally, Memphis Depay moving from Olympique Lyonnais to Barcelona. Gentlemen, I once again open the floor. Who wins the pubby?
I mean, I think Tomiyasu and Ramsdale were impactful for the spots that they filled. I mean, obviously Ramsdale, the argument could be made that he's, Leno was the number one at Arsenal. Ramsdale was, by denizens of the pub, said that they overcharged, they overpaid for him. But I have to give it to Sebastian Haller now playing for Ajax. The man's not only scores goals for fun, but he is creative. As I just mentioned, he scores goals for fun. He is one of the most impactful, turning around Ajax that was already a sensational club. The history alone that took it to the next level, and they are underdogs right now, but I don't think any club wants to play them in the Champions League. I got to give it to Sebastian Haller.
I mean, for me, it has to be Tomiyasu. I think that's a position that Arsenal needed. Right back? Yeah, right back. Right back position. And he's been super solid. Like, I can't say nothing against him. He's really helped keep them balanced. This is a Arteta type of player that fits his system. And they've been solid ever since. Ain't nobody been talking about the fullbacks this year for Arsenal. So I think Tomiyasu was just the right person for it.
Yeah, so for once, well, maybe once again, John and I are on the same page. I can make a case for most of these guys, but Tomiyasu is the guy for me because filled a big hole. And he didn't require any acclimation time. We didn't have a situation where we're like, oh, he's got to mature, blah, blah, blah. He came in and made a difference from his very first match. I think he almost scored from a wild cross. He just threw his body at the ball. And he's big. He's fast. He's tough. Dogged defender. Physical. What's not to love? I'd like to see how he performs in the upcoming North London Derby. We need somebody like him for matches like that.
I don't think Rossler went.
I didn't, but I'm going to go with Tomiyasu as well. We're making lots of Arsenal jokes, man. Like, they were looking pretty bad before that defense started to turn around and they made their big run, and they're respectable now. I mean, their defense has been, for I would say the last, their stretch of winning, their defense has been great. It's been fantastic, which is why they're in the position they're in now. And I think Tamayasu was a part of that change. And one thing that nobody, well, I would expect Amar Joseph to mention it, they're one of the younger clubs now, and they're kind of building on something, and it's exciting to see for them.
Yeah, no surprises from me here. I also think that Tomiyasu has been absolutely fantastic. He is somebody that we've taken straight under Roma. Roma could have had him. Roma could have kept him. And they, you know, they agreed to sell him to us. And honestly, you know, we were worried about that right flank. We were worried about whether or not, you know, it was obviously right to let Bellerin go because he didn't have the passion for it anymore. He seemed a bit jaded. And a change of environment is exactly what he needed. And he's thriving at Real Betis. So, you know, shout out to Big Sexy. But as far as I'm concerned, Tomiyasu is the Don. The only other impactful transfer that I can think of at the same club than him would be Bushi. For Arsenal WFC. That really is it. It's got to be Tomiyasu. It's got to be Tomiyasu. So Tomiyasu is getting the Pubby, the most impactful transfer. Congratulations. Enjoy the award. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap some stuff up here. We've gone through all the player awards, all the football-related awards. Now we're going to go ahead and get into some mess. We're going to do the host awards. Now, these categories, you know, we discussed, you know, going over the last season and going into this one and all things considered. In 2021, which one of your boys was doing the most in these following categories? So I'll go ahead and go through these, except for the ones in which we have to actually make a decision. And there's only one category for that, and that's the Mic Drop Award. But the biggest troll, this one was not close at all. This one definitely has to go. It wasn't close at all. Like, I'm not even going to do the suspenseful thing, because you already know who the biggest troll of 2021 is. It's John. It's Jonathan. Jonathan, it's the biggest troll.
No way.
21. Don't do the Taylor Swift
mixtape coming out soon. Mixtape coming out soon.
Don't do the Taylor Swift fake surprise thing. Like, come on now. Don't do that. You're better than that. You knew you were. Anyway. And I agree, Ross. The take that was Cheeks Award. Or the Cheeks.
All right, that Freudian slip just coming right through.
Wait. Was that Neil's award, or are we talking about?
No, it's.
I don't know what's on this man's mind.
Oh man, I was gonna.
You know where to find what's on his mind.
Oh my God! Listen, we're not doing this right now. But the take that was Cheeks Award. Oh man, that goes to Adam this season. This year. We'll find the precise clip because it has to be played back. But he said that Barcelona was going to be okay. And he was wrong. He was wrong as hell. So shout out to you, Comrade Adam. This is the reason why you didn't come tonight, because you knew you were going to get shamed. You knew you were going to get roasted. Yeah. But we love you, Stephen Way. The biggest bombshell. I mean, this again also wasn't even close. For almost the entirety of the second season, big man like Rossler has been laying in the cut, waiting, dwelling. You know what I'm saying? Just chilling, doing absolutely nothing, okay? Except making sure that everything is running tickety-boo on the ones and twos. And then the season finale happened. If you haven't had an opportunity yet, please go check out episode 58, which is the season finale to season 2. Rossler finally announced to everybody who he intended on swearing allegiance to in terms of the Premier League. And he did so in a way that caught everybody off guard, because that is precisely where the episode ends. He mentioned that he swore allegiance to Liverpool. It caught us all off guard. We weren't expecting it. Okay, maybe some of us were, but like, we didn't think he was going to go through with it. But in the fashion that he did it, like, top marks, like the Academy Award for Best Drama goes to Rosler. So the biggest bombshell has to go to Rosler. Now, I will take credit where credit is due here. I'm somebody who's very much into fashion, things of that nature. Which, if you've followed me on Instagram or Twitter, you've done already. I can take a mean picture, and I do my own stunts. So I am flattered, honored, and privileged to have been awarded the Best Kit and Shoe Game Award for 2021 this year. Thank you, everybody. Shout out to Icarus. Shout out to Football Culture. Shout out to, oh my God, Adidas. Shout out to Nike. Shout out to just for everybody who just made fire drip. You know what I mean? You gave me the added inspiration and impetus to go ahead and put together some of the cutest outfits, I think, safe to say. Some stunners, you know what I mean? And it's just all about the accessory game at that point. You know, what kind of shoes you got, kind of, you know, you got a watch. What's that saying? You know, you got jackets. What's that saying? Color coordination. What's that saying? I love this stuff.
Mr. Drippy, we got you.
I love it. I love this stuff.
Shout out to Almas Closet, though. Close second.
Almas Wardrobe really should have taken it, to tell you the truth. I don't have enough drip. I just simply don't have the quantity to keep up with what this man's got rocking. So. But I appreciate it nonetheless. But we do have to make a decision. We had three mic drop moments. Three. And each of them, I feel like, deserves a puppy. I know what my personal favorite is, and I'll hold on to that until everybody else has mentioned theirs. But between Amma's Nigerian train incident, where the Nigerian women's national team were accosted by some dickhead in Vienna, Austria, when they were out doing some sightseeing on public transport, and a Nigerian brother decided that that would be the best time to make an example out of them in front of all these white people. Not the greatest, but Amma addressed it not just eloquently, but absolutely masterfully. He just gave all of the historical context, which I would still invite everybody, as he has done in that clip, to go ahead and, you know, follow up on those sources. Read a few things, watch a few things. There's a very rich tapestry to Nigerian history that you really should check into. But he contextualized that flawlessly before reading that man down. He also did not shy away from extending even compassion to that fuckwit. And again, we stress that he was a fuckwit, but he extended compassion to him because, again, if you listen to Amma's breakdown of the historical context of what it is that he is talking about on that trolley that they were all on, you will see where he's coming from. Just for my money, not just a mic drop moment, but probably the best moment, the best single monologue that we had last year. So I don't know how you man feel about it, but that's how I feel about it. The second is Neil's dressing down of the ex-CEO, Steve Baldwin, and the Washington Spirit. Neil really let loose with a passionate monologue for a team that not only he supports, but one that he is deeply, not just deeply invested in, but one that he wants to see do well. It really strikes a chord with you when the shit that we usually see in terms of corruption and isms and schisms in football comes to your front doorstep. And Neil wasted no time in just dressing the entire situation down. And I'm going to echo the same thing that he says here. Shout out to Rome's Room Collective, the only supporters group that matters. And finally, for Mike Drop that's been nominated, I had a chat with Alexi Lalas last year. That was pretty cool. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, you can listen to it. I think it's episode 54. Yeah. I don't know what to say apart from that I was not expecting, A, the conversation that I had with him to last that long. I thought I was going to get kicked out at certain points. You know what I mean? But I think I had him on. I think I had him on the ropes. I'm not going to overstate it, but I think I had him on the ropes. And I think I left him something to think about. So that's been kindly nominated by the rest of my brethren here at the pub for a mic drop award. But what does the rest of the pub think? Let's go to Arma first. What was your mic drop moment?
Yeah, and I mean, we got to give a few shout outs to, you know, people we talked to. We had nice quotables from CJ Brown, like folks mentioned. and even on the most recent episode released is Connor Moore. laying into people who choose to do their own research, quote unquote, about a pandemic. My vote, probably, I will say, if you haven't listened to Joseph talking to Alexi Lawless, I think that's where my vote's going to go, because, you know, everybody, Alexi Lawless is prominent in the U.S. soccer scene. And I feel like he, during the conversation, he tried to, you know, he tried a bunch of little tactics to flip the conversation, to abdicate responsibility, to kind of deflect. And Joseph was dogged while remaining respectful. And, you know, it's a man's platform. And pressing him on the issue. And I feel like it was kind of masterfully done without, you know, without giving up any ground and allowing Alexi himself to sink, you know, to allow Alexi to use his own words to sink himself, right? And I feel like that was, it was well done, required some patience, but required quick thinking and just self-possession and ownership of the facts. And I feel like he exhibited all of that in that conversation. And it's, you know, if you haven't listened, it's very much worth your time.
Aw, thank you, Alma. Jonathan, what was your mic drop moment from 2021?
I mean, they're all really solid. For the reasons anybody just described. I'm a fan of history, so I'm gonna go with Alma's training to a history lesson.
Not a bad shout. I also went with that one. Rossler, you're the penultimate one to make a decision. What was your mic drop moment?
I think it was Zama's as well. Not only for the historic sense of it, and it, to me, it's like that moment. Sometimes when people do stupid things, they don't realize how much damage they're doing to their culture and how much of a how privileged they are to even have certain things, like to have a women's team that probably don't get paid enough. And if I remember Alma saying that sometimes they have to get side jobs just to make up for the money that they're not getting from playing, and for you to attack these people for something that doesn't necessarily have to do with them is arrogant and short-sighted and selfish. Like, sometimes we just really get caught up in what we think instead of what really is. And I think that was a great display of demonstrating all the layers of fuckery that this dude displayed. That was my favorite moment. Sure. Yeah.
Yep. You can't go wrong with a bit of armor. El Capitan, you said you were going last. So what is your vote?
Well, I'm going to take a little bit of captain's armband privilege here and say that I'm going to go and give this award to everyone, because everyone is deserving of this award. And I'm the captain, so no one can overrule me. So everyone who was nominated gets the award.
There you have it. The mic drop goes to all three of us. So shout out to Alma, shout out to El Capitan, and, well, me, I guess. All right. Well, we've gotten through all the awards. So we have to go ahead and give some dishonorable mentions. It's a very short list, and this is how we're going to go ahead and round out this episode, this very special episode, the Pubbies. So we would be remiss if we didn't at least get through some, you know, dishonorable mentions to shout out. So I'll start, and then I guess we'll go ahead and do it round robin. Shout out, your dishonorable mentions list are as follows. Shout out to Benjamin Mendy. You are horrible. Just horrible. It's hard for me to actually do this without laughing, because, like, these people were the worst of the worst last year. Jesus Christ. So Benjamin Mendy is on the list. Shout out to you. You are our first dishonorable mention of 2021. Who would like to take the second one?
Harry. Yeah. Oh,
go
sorry.
Go for it, Neil. I'll take the next one.
That's totally fine. Harry Kane, who's been mentioned twice tonight.
Yes. Yes. So not only did you win, you are the co-holder of the Pubby for, what was that category again? Most underperforming player. Yes. Most underperforming player. But now you also got a dishonorable mention, and you know exactly why. Your fall from grace has been nothing more than spectacular, and I have enjoyed every moment of it. Arma, who is our third dishonorable mention?
Yo, third dishonorable mention is Gylfi Sigurdsson. Folks know him for playing for Swansea and then Everton, and he's, you know, facing numerous charges of sexual assault, rape, blah, blah, blah. But not only does it go to Gylfi Sigurdsson, it goes to the entire Icelandic Football Federation that has a culture problem. I mentioned this on a prior episode as well, a culture problem where certain kinds of behavior, like sexual assault and domestic violence, seem to be prevalent. He's one of several players in that organization, as well as officials who have been caught up in numerous incidents. So, you know, fix your culture, Iceland, football, and Gylfi Sigurdsson. I hope you get what's coming to you.
For me, next up is Steve Baldwin, you know, former. Or in the process of being a former owner of the Washington Spirit and WSL team, we know the story. Oversaw a lot of abuse, sexual harassment, improper worker treatment all throughout the club. Had to be exposed. Shout out to all the stars of the Spirit for, you know, former stars, current stars, for just being vulnerable and open and honest. And this man has caused y'all all that pain. Well, didn't cause all the pain, but oversaw it. So it's part of that problem. And he has a lot of power. So this all I'm gonna mention to him. Thankfully they're transitioning away from him. So yeah, Steve Baldwin.
And shout out to Meg Linehan for dropping nothing but heat in terms of journalism for the sport, for the NWSL, you know, keeping your finger on the pulse and keeping us abreast of what's been going on. One of the person who's been working very, very tirelessly in that space to make sure that everybody's informed, asking all the tough questions, dishing all the dirt, things of that nature. Honestly, the Athletic would be nothing without you, Meg. So thank you so much for your hard work as well. Right. Rossler, who's the next dishonorable mention on the list? Speak.
Next on the list is the NWSL. Several cases of player mistreatment, making policies that didn't support the players, and several scandals throughout the year. I do have an honorable mention, a dishonorable, excuse me, mention to someone who's not on the list, the central midfielder that never showed up but was always dependent on hopes and prayers. Shout out to hopes and prayers. You're not doing your job.
He's just cooked.
Wow. Wow.
Manchester United, stand up.
Listen. 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 The next dishonorable mention, shout out to Con Mabel. Yeah. Well, you didn't have a good 2021, did you? this pandemic has been whooping everybody's ass, but it certainly has been whooping yours. And the stuff that has come out that's non-COVID related as well, I mean, you didn't think you were going to get through this without being mentioned, did you? I hope you didn't. Speaking of federations, FIFA. FIFA, there's never a year where FIFA won't be on this list. But in the case of what Christian Eriksen went through and how they handled it, I mean, come on now. UEFA also needs to be included with that, particularly because it's their fucking tournament. So shout out to UEFA and FIFA for always being terrible, because you're always fucking terrible. The last of your dishonorable mentions are as follows. We've waxed lyrical about how much we do not like the United States Soccer Federation. They are also on the dishonorable mentions list for 2021. We've stated those reasons by way of giving one of the puppies to Seth Jarn for biggest racismo of the year. You know, it was tough competition all year long, but Seth Jarn just decided, you know what? Going for gold. And he did it. He did it. So, but he wouldn't have done it if it weren't for the US Soccer Federation platforming him. So again, it just speaks to the anti-blackness that's been observed over and over again about this organization. We're tired of talking. We just want to see changes at this point. And finally, what would 2021 would have been without at least one last parting shot for what would have been, but thank God it wasn't, the European Super League project that was going to be helmed by Florentino Perez, funded by a whole bunch of JP Morgan Chase money. And it was just an absolute disaster. Turned football on its head for quite a bit, a good 2 weeks, which is an eternity in football. And yeah, any last words for what could have been, gentlemen, before we wrap this puppy up, send everybody home?
I just say do better. There are several dishonorable mentions that shouldn't be on this list that have the opportunity to do better, and they're not, and that's why they're on there. So do better. You have a full year to do it.
Except you, Steve. Just sell the team to Michelle. Stop being a dickhead, and just sell the team to Michelle and just never talk to us ever again. You just get gone. double for Benjamin Mendy and Gylfi Sigurdsson and the Icelandic Football Association. You can just leave. You get better, please, but just never come back. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know, boys. 2021 was a wild year, I think, all things considered. But we have managed to scrape and carve out some awards to commemorate some of the most memorable, the highs, the lows, and the indifferent. And we've all done that in this beautiful episode of the Banter Pub FC. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of our beautiful brand of madness. The sauciest team in the game, the spiciest takes on the pitch. Please be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Banter Pub FC. Please follow and subscribe on YouTube and Twitch. If you like what you heard, and I'm pretty sure you love what you heard, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to us every week like you do. Please be sure to like, subscribe, follow, review us on your favorite platform. Doesn't matter if it's Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, you know the drill. Wherever you can review us, please leave us a lovely little review. We certainly would appreciate it. But this has been the Pubbies. We'll see you again next year. But for El Capitan, Neil, a big man like Armour, for Rossler, a man like Jonathan, and
he's not here, but in Comrade Adam's absence. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Joseph. Take care, won't you? Have a wonderful, 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 wonderful rest of your week. We'll see you next time.